This piece has been brought to you by Bonnie Plants, bonnieplants.com.
I'm Erica Wise, host of Let's Get Real, the cooking show about finding, preparing, and eating food. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
This is Cynthia Cherish Malloran, Reverend DJ Cherish the Love, and you are listening to Primary Food on Heritage Radio Network. So before I forget, let me tell you how to reach out to me and get my attention on social media, Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook at DJ Cherish the Love, and that is spelled L-U-V, hashtag Primary Food, Heritage underscore radio, and hashtag RevLove. So welcome, listeners, to the fifth episode of the second season of Primary Food. Wow, I feel really proud saying that. And what exactly is primary food? So I learned this really great concept in nutrition school at IIN, the Institute for Integrative Nutrition, that the food you eat, you know, the stuff you put in our mouths and chew and enjoy, we consider that secondary food. Primary food is everything else in life that nourishes us before we sit down and eat. And that's stuff like enjoying music, reading a book, hanging out with friends, cooking food, a great job, building apps, creative expression, playing games, exercise. And I'm so glad I learned this concept because it was the high quality primary food that I kept in my life while going through chemotherapy last year that kept me happy and healing my cancer. So listeners, you can call in live, and the number is 718-497-2128. And again, that number is 718-497-2128. So today's primary food focus is great communication. And we are continuing the DMC deep, meaningful conversations as I had last week with Kiki Adami, the veganizer. With me is Audrey Mann Cronin.
Hello.
And her daughter, Amanda.
Hi.
So now about Amanda, so you're all about the food, actually, right?
Oh, yes. The secondary food.
I'm going to casually read through your bio.
Okay.
So Amanda, you're a young activist and a foodie, correct?
Yes, 16.
Awesome. A junior at Horace Greeley High School in Chappaqua, New York. You are the editor-in-chief of the school newspaper, a student of the science research program, studying microbial genomics.
Yes, this summer.
And outside of school, you take classes and you intern at Rytopia Lab, which is awesome. You're the media director at Pleasantville Farmers Market, which
yes.
I dig. Youth council member, advisory board member. Wow, lots of stuff here. Media team coordinator at iMatter, a nonprofit environmental organization led by kids passionate about fighting the climate crisis. So cool. Your Amanda is also the chief youth officer of Say It Media, which is why mom is here. We're going to get into that. But before we do that, let's talk about your involvement in food.
Sure. Yeah. So I started out my interest in all things food when I became the young spokesperson for our local farmers market, the Chappaqua Farmers Market, when I was about 10 years old. And how that happened was they were looking for someone to help publicize the market, and they reached out to my mom because she's all about that. But my mom didn't have any extra time to give, so she thought, oh, well, how about you ask kids to get involved because they'll asked their parents to come. And she said, my daughter loves the farmer's market. She loves the atmosphere and the whole vibe. And so how about she gets involved? So I started doing these weekly interviews every Saturday at the market.
Which her mother was involved with.
Yes, which she ended up being very much involved
with. I actually just wanted to bag tomatoes. I wasn't looking to do the promotion necessarily. But when they asked me, how can we promote the market? I said, get kids involved. I have a kid that is very passionate about food and never wanted to order off of the kids' menu.
Oh.
Always wanted to order off of the adult menu.
True.
So we gave her the moniker Kid Foodie, and so she became Kid Foodie.
Kid yes. Foodie. So why? What is your passion behind food about? What is it based in?
Well, actually, I just celebrated my 1 year anniversary of becoming vegetarian.
Okay.
I'm very proud of that. And my road to that started as Kid Foodie in learning all about the agricultural process and how food gets processed and the difference between organic and non-organic and just everything about the process intrigues me, and I'm always looking to learn more about what I'm putting in my mouth, because what we put in our body is what becomes us. We digest it, and I'm also really into science, as you mentioned.
Uh-huh.
We digest it, and it becomes ourselves, so what really matters is what we put in our body. So I made the choice to become vegetarian, and I actually watched Forks Over Knives, the documentary, this morning. Actually, just this morning.
Oh, okay.
But I had watched Food Inc. and Super Size Me, so I was really getting all this information. And yeah, and so I became
vegetarian. Changes have you felt within yourself, physically, spiritually, emotionally, since transforming into the vegetarian lifestyle?
Yeah, the transformation. Really, I have seen changes. This is kind of snobby to say, but you feel almost entitled as a vegetarian to have that title, because I feel like I'm doing something good for the environment, and that's not the reason why I did it, to have that title for myself. But the positive changes I've seen is I felt like I have more energy now, and I just feel like I have a whole much more positive outlook on things. And I urge my friends constantly to become vegetarian, pushing my agenda on them. But I really feel passionate about it. I mean, my mom's transitioning. She's in the process.
They are slowly turning green before
yes.
me.
And I was just telling her in the car that I'm really interested in going vegan, too.
Yeah, that's the next level,
baby. That's
the
next step. Oh, yeah.
You feel entitlement now, you wait. Yeah. Just wait. I brought a little something for you.
Oh, really?
I found a Snapple cap on the ground, which is so funny, and I thought of you. I turned it over, and it says, plants, like humans, can run a fever if they are sick.
Wow. That's so cool.
There you go.
That's really interesting.
Snapple knows everything, apparently.
Yes.
No, I Googled it, and I saw an article in Time magazine about plants' leaves that had some sort of infection, fungus or something like that. The plant would raise the temperature on that part of it to ward off the spread.
Plants are so cool.
Wow. Plants are smart. That's why we eat them.
Yes. Exactly.
So when you try to influence your friends, I mean, is it like, do you impose on them, or do you try to do it in a gentle way? And how have they responded to it?
Well, thinking about just this morning after watching this documentary, Forks Over Knives, I looked over at them after, because this documentary is great, but it's basically just a laundry list of statistics and facts, scientific facts and studies about why eating a plant-based diet reduces your risk for heart disease, cancer, high cholesterol, everything. And I looked over them and I said, would you go vegetarian with me for 1 week? and both of them, they're two of my friends, and both of them said, yes, I would definitely consider it. And I said, because I started out as pescatarian, and so you can just start that way and slowly sink down. No, go up. and they said, okay, we'll consider it. But yeah, I mean, I make lunch for myself every day. I have this little lunch container that I fondly call my lunchie, and every night after dinner I cook tofu, and over the weekends I prepare all my food and I cook tofu and sweet potatoes and a grain that's usually quinoa or wheat berries, and then I assemble that all the night before and I bring that in, and my friends are always so impressed because they have to eat the gross salads that they serve at lunch.
You know, you're impressing me too, because honestly, you're 16 and you're managing this, and I think that you're a great voice to inspire other young people to, hey, take care of your food. Take control of what you eat.
I hope, yeah, that's
my goal. It can't be pizza
goal.
Rolls all the time.
No, not all the time.
not all the time.
We're very impressed by her, but we've always, my husband and I, never took them to fast food. My kids, I have a 15-year-old son, and they've never ingested McDonald's.
Never.
Never
in your life.
Never. So I don't even know what I'm missing, and yeah. I honestly don't never really had
white
want
bread.
To know.
They've never...
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, my brother actually made a funny comment yesterday, my younger brother. He said, you know, I just want to try once McDonald's French fries because I just want to know what they taste like. Because my friends all said that they're amazing. He said, just one French fry.
And then you have to tell them it'll be downhill from there.
Yes,
because
that's
sugar
the gateway
and all
drug.
Kinds of
one McDonald's French fry.
Okay, she's funny. That's very true, actually. I have to say.
That's the marijuana.
You tell them that we said don't do it.
Okay.
Don't do it.
Just say no.
Just don't do it. Say no. There's so much better food out there.
Oh, so wait. Absolutely. We have a funny story, actually, that gets even more into her foodiness.
I'm so interested to hear.
Okay, so she loves this podcast called Gastropod, and she listens to it
Wonderful.
On the bus.
Love it.
And they had some. You can maybe tell this better
than
me.
It's the podcast about the science and history of food,
right? And so they were talking about crickets. And mm-hmm. how you can make cricket pancakes and all this cricket
like
granola bars
Chapul.
And all this
alternative yeah. sources of protein. Yes.
Right. And if you send them an email now, you might be the winner of this package of cricket treats. So she sends an email to them to win.
Did you win
and
bugs?
Wait for it. And it and doesn't hear from them and then gets an email back saying, we're sorry you weren't one of the top five, but your email was so good that we're going to send them to you anyway.
Oh,
and can
my gosh.
We actually use what you said in our promo
can
on
you
our radio
yourself
show?
Can you reading your email?
Because she said, what did you say? Finding?
I said, well, I listen to podcasts and like I would listen to this on every day on the bus ride home from school. I have my podcast app on my phone and I line them up and then I choose This American Life or Radiolab or Gastropod. And Gastropod's one of my favorites because it's all about food.
And now you're going to be logging into Primary Food
yes.
and everything else on Heritage Radio because
yes.
we're on iTunes.
Of course, of course. and yeah, and so I click on the most recent episode and I suddenly hear my voice. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's me. But yeah,
wow.
I recorded myself. I put my bed covers over my head, which was their tip. That's how they record their stuff. Sorry to give away their secrets.
But tell them what you
yeah, so my line was that finding a new podcast of Gastropod in my podcast app is like finding a piece of cake in the refrigerator.
It's
delightful.
A piece of chocolate cake in the refrigerator.
I yes. love that.
And my parents
will do that for you.
Repeat
too.
It back. My parents repeat it back to me all the time because I think it's adorable.
Right.
I think that's so wonderful. I love how you communicate that. So your passion of food and speaking, right? I
mm-hmm.
guess you're like really into that too.
Oh, yes.
Fed an informed mom.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about mom for a bit.
Yes.
So you have created an app.
Well, it goes back.
Okay,
it
so give
back.
Us some history.
It goes back. Okay, so where do I start?
Mom is fascinating.
Mom is
very. Mom is fascinating.
Audrey.
So I guess I'm going to start in the music side of things because I know that's another one of your passions,
yep.
and it's my passion as well. I sang when I was younger, and I was always very tuned into how people spoke. I have parents from Brooklyn and Queens, so they had the Brooklynese kind of thing going, and I was
York.
Always very sensitive to that. And then I studied voice for years, and I guess I was just really tuned into how things sounded, and I ended up studying communications at school. And when I left there, I ended up working with executives promoting technology. That's where I fell into the mix. I worked at Hewlett Packard first, but then I ended up at a tech PR firm heading up all their consumer technology business. And so I was launching all these different software products and technologies and devices and media training the executives who I was working with to help them speak in a way that was powerful and persuasive and
uh-huh.
that would compel people to listen to them. So I worked a lot with executives on media training to talk about the positioning of their products. And I launched everything from, we were just talking about Doom and Quake and all these
video games. And things like that, yeah.
Yeah, to like DavidBowie.com, the first time, you know,
so
musicians
the first
got
time
radio.
Musicians were on the web, it was DavidBowie.com was one of the first sites,
yes,
right?
Yes.
And you were... quite
we launched
that.
It.
You
yeah.
launched it.
You know what? I
That's
forgot
amazing.
That I was there and I met my friend just reminded me. Yeah, we were there. Remember we were giving out his
Amazing.
It was crazy. Mm-hmm. So we I had this really, being in tech is very exciting now, but it was very exciting that we launched the internet CD-ROM. I'm very old. I'm like a dinosaur. And we launched.
Hey, I was around for that. Does that make me old too? Don't talk like that.
All right. We're very young. And DVD and with Warner and just all these different incredible products in tech. And so it hit me as my kids were getting older that all these things that I talk about being, actually Amanda came up with this notion that I was not the one that invented the products, but I was the midwife, the one that helped bring them to bear. Not every product, obviously, but a lot of tech, consumer technology products. And then there were my kids with their heads down playing video games, using social media, using Snapchat and Instagram. And I thought, oh my gosh, what have I done?
Oh my gosh, it's you.
It's me.
Yes. You did this. You did this to my people.
Right. So I thought, this is so interesting because my daughter, who, you've heard speak, has always been very poised and kind of beyond her years and pretty well spoken. But when she turned 14, she started using those words like and and
like,
totally like every other like word. And I thought, oh no, not her. Has she fallen into this trap? And yikes, I better pull her out before my younger son falls in too. So I thought,
it's so interesting that you cared about that. First of all, I mean, so many parents and so many people are like, well, that's what they talk like these days.
Yeah. Right.
But you didn't want that.
I didn't want that. And that very same week that I noticed it in Amanda, a colleague came to me and said, I have these two brilliant women that work for me, but when I hear them on calls and in meetings, I cringe because of all these filler words that they use and because they do this thing called uptalk where they turn everything into a question and then they have that vocal fry.
I mean, interesting.
Interesting. Can you do vocal fry for them, please?
What is vocal fry?
I mean, I totally, like, this is so cool that we're on this radio show. I mean, come on.
What is that? You turned into a robot.
It's like Britney Spears. If you listen to any Britney Spears song, she does it, and the Kardashians do it all the time, and it's everywhere. Mom calls it Kardashian-infested culture, which is true. You hear it from every celebrity when they're interviewed on the red carpet. Yeah.
So they're just
the red
kind
carpet.
It's
when you sound like you're kind of running out of oxygen at the end of
the sentence. I didn't even know there was a word for that.
Yeah, it's frying an egg.
Vocal fry.
Vocal fry.
Wow, okay.
Right, so I'm noticing. So
I thought that was a food.
Right.
Sounds like.
As well.
I'm hearing from my colleague about these brilliant women that just don't sound as brilliant as they should. They're not representing themselves like they should, presenting their best selves. And then I go to the doctor that same week, and I had this appointment, and I started writing a blog. So my husband says to me, I'm talking to him, he says, you need to do something about this. Huh. And I said, why me? And then I realized that my PR agency, Man Cronin PR's tagline has always been, say it like you mean it. So I started writing this blog, Why You Should Say It Like You Mean It. And I printed it out because when you go to the doctor, you wait in the waiting room, then you wait in the examining room, and I'm working on it. And my doctor asked me what I was writing. And when I told her, she was so passionate. She said,
wow,
I see this all the time, even in the operating room, whereas a male doctor might say scalpel, a female doctor would say, can you hand me the scalpel? And I thought, okay, it's a sign. It's a sign. Something's got to be done. So I write this blog, and I got a great response to it. And then I started speaking out about it. And then I thought, because I worked in tech my whole career, there should be an app for this. Why is there not an app for this? And ultimately, I found
somebody.
At least
for the sake of the surgeons, because I...
Yes, seriously, a high-stakes environment.
I want very good communication during my surgery.
You do. Yes. Right. Right. Like Amanda said, particularly in high-stakes situations. So I'm
sorry, I just processed.
I know,
can you,
it's
like, totally
crazy.
Pass me like the scalpel, please.
Scalpel,
scalpel.
And to be fair, men do it too. Absolutely, men and women, and it's a very sensitive topic. There's been a lot of media coverage over whether women should be judged by the way they speak, whereas men are not, and why are we judged and they're not? And it's very true, and it's. And
why
I'm very pro.
Let's
and I'm
talk
very
about
pro.
That for a sec, because now you just like lit the fire in me.
Yes.
Why are we judged?
Well, I've done a lot of writing and reading about this, and I do think that women tend to be more gracious in meetings, more like one person said, we always nod. We want people to feel good about what they're saying. We always nod. Where men don't. There's more ego with men. And I think we're just always trying to make everything good. And
that
that's
just
wonderful.
Like how my mom prepares food for us. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of like the way you dish out. Actually, the way you do one thing is the way you do everything, you know, and I think that just reminded me of that, like just kind of this extra stuff. But you're saying that sometimes it's unnecessary or unclear when in communication.
It can be. And only when it's excessive. So when I'm talking about capturing, being aware of how you speak, I'm not saying it's not okay to say like once in a while or, you know, everybody does it. What I'm saying is it's better to be aware of how you speak.
And not to use it in excess.
Because if you're going up against somebody, for example, for an interview, and you have the same resume, and one of you says like every other word, and the other one speaks very articulately and with confidence. To me, it's all about confidence. It's about practicing. And so why are men not picked on? Well, so my point of all this is we have so many obstacles as women. This whole gender equality thing, I'm very passionate about that too, because working in tech, it was always all men in the room and me. And I talk about being man-terrupted all the time. And it took a lot for me to get the confidence and to come out and say, no, I have something to say. But when you have that chance to be at that proverbial table and have something to say, you want to say it in a way that compels people to listen, though they're not distracted because you're saying like every other word. You're not using vocal, right? You're talking in a very powerful, persuasive way. And so I felt that this is the confidence that women need to get out there and be that person. Is something I want to be part of.
So you identified the problem, and then Amanda and Audrey, well, you created the solution. So we're going to take a little break, and then we're going to talk about the solution.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Just your garden. It's the way you live. And there's so much to know. But you have help. Bonnie Plants. Now with Bonnie's app, Homegrown, you can learn about veggie and herb varieties, track and record your garden with photos and notes, share on Facebook and Twitter, and so much more. How'd you ever grow without it? Get Homegrown with Bonnie Plants for iPhone and Android. The more you know, the better you can grow. With Bonnie.
Hey, so this is Cynthia Cherish Mallorin, and again, I'm here with Audrey Mann Cronin and Amanda, her daughter, and the Like So app, Audrey's solution to poor communication.
I like to say that, so this is another aspect of why I was really compelled to create an app, and this comes from my background in tech, is that kids have their heads down, and not just kids, we all do. We're all have our heads down now all the time, and we're texting rather than talking and having these wonderful face-to-face deep conversations, substantive conversations. So I wanted to create an app that would turn our addiction into a solution so we could practice, right?
How do you turn French fries into a...
Sweet potato fries.
It's still not a solution. It needs to like...
Close.
You created an app called Like So.
Right, so... The idea is
Needs to download this app because I downloaded it.
Go download it right now.
Yes,
go
please.
Download it right now. Like
it's
So.
It's only 99 cents.
In the
it's
App Store.
Change
in the
your
App
life.
Store. It's on iOS.
Your personal speech coach. Okay, tell us about it.
It is. It's your personal speech coach. I called it Like So, and so you would speak like so without saying like and so. Anyway, if that's a way to remember it, it's called like so. And the idea that there's two parts to it. One of them is, there's two modes. One of them is called freestyle, and it's for any upcoming speaking opportunity you might have. And when you click on freestyle, it asks you how long you want to speak for and which words you want to listen for. So this is using voice recognition technology. And voice recognition technology has only gotten really reliable in the last couple of years. So we had to really work. This needed to work. Right?
Amazing.
This needed to work. Okay. So when you hit freestyle, and you can say, listen for all fillers. And so we have 14 filler words, like, you know, totally, whatever, actually, anyway, okay, right, and so forth. And it listens and it captures those words. So if you say speak for a minute, it gives you a countdown, listen for all words. You're preparing for the toast of your sister's wedding, or you're working on a presentation you're giving in front of your classmates or at work. And so you can use this to practice, and it will save your results over time, and you can see how you're doing.
And again, this isn't just for presentations. This is for regular communication with people. Regular conversations where you can have, or let's say I wanted to talk to my boss about perhaps like so getting a raise.
Exactly. A great lead-in, because the second mode is called Talk About. And in Talk About, it gives you topics, and it actually prompts you with five different cues or questions. So you select a topic, whether it's the interview, debate team. There's even things like pop culture favorites. There's On the Menu.
Fantastic.
That's food. So if you pick On the Menu, and then you pick 30 or 60 seconds per prompt, and then you say, listen, for example, to all words, it'll prompt you with macaroni and cheese, or I don't know, tofu or sushi. And then you talk about it for those 30 seconds, and then it prompts you again, and it's listening. So you see it's spinning, and it's listening to you.
And it's catching the filler words.
It's catching all your words and your fillers, and at the end, it delivers your articulate percentile. So right now, I'm at 95% articulate.
Oh, my.
And so then you know how you're doing, right? It tracks it. It's helping you train against these, and just be aware. There's nothing scientific here. It's purely motivational, but it's fun, and it gives you something fun to do with friends, whether you're in a group and you want to pass the phone around.
This is amazing.
Yeah.
Everyone needs to download this. Actually, for the last 15 minutes of this, I'm going to hit freestyle, and I am going to record myself. Actually,
oh, great idea.
Let's see. It says here 30 minutes. I'll do five minutes.
Do five.
Okay, I'll do five minutes. And it tells me to listen for all words. Actually, you know, okay, so I'm going to listen for all of these junky words. And I'm hitting start. And you guys should try this. I think everyone's listening should download this.
Me too.
I'm hitting start.
Me too.
It's telling me to get ready. There's a countdown. 3, 2, 1, go. And I'm speaking, and it's it's recording me. Okay, no pressure. David's looking at me from the booth. How has this app improved your public speaking about food and, you know, everything you're passionate about?
Right, yeah. Well, as I said, one of my favorite things to talk about is food. And I talk about food with my friends and my family all the time. And so in talking
about your presentation for iMatter. You used it,
didn't
you? Oh,
sure. Well, yes, that's true. I recently gave a presentation. You said before that I am the media team director for this national organization called iMatter, which is a youth-driven organization for combating the climate crisis. We're in a really dire situation in our planet, and we believe that the youngest generation is the one that's going to have to bear the burden, and so we have to be part of the solution. So I was asked to give a presentation in November.
Wow. That's wonderful.
And I prepared for it by practicing. And like so wasn't even invented yet. It wasn't a thing.
It was in test mode. You could use it.
Oh, it just wasn't public yet.
Yes, that's true.
So I did use it to practice.
Yeah.
And I did what you're doing right now, and I went to freestyle mode, and I said, listen for all words.
You showed your cricket pancakes
right,
in that presentation.
Right, and so I started off my presentation by showing an image of my cricket pancakes, which cricket pancakes are not pancakes made out of solid crickets.
I thought they were. I was hoping they were.
No, they are pancakes made instead of with flour, ground up cricket flour. So it's a combination of ground up crickets, roasted, dead roasted crickets. Okay. No twitching antenna.
What does that taste like?
Nutty.
Oh, God. I thought you were going to say salty.
No,
I don't know
actually,
why.
It's actually not nutty. A very aggressive taste at all. Nutty, really, you can taste it, especially when it's in something else. I've had whole roasted crickets before.
Wow. So have I.
Yeah.
Okay.
I forced her.
I swigged mine down with a cup of coffee, though.
You cheated.
Yeah, no, she totally cheated. It tasted just like a potato chip with a couple more.
It's legs more the than, texture.
Yes, it's more texture
potato
than taste.
Chip with legs.
I was gonna say it tasted like a potato chip with legs and sound.
Well, it was roasted and salted. It it doesn't have much of a taste. It's more of a texture. So what's great about that is that it can be ground up and used in baked goods and things like pancakes. And so when I was giving this presentation and talking about my passion for reducing my carbon footprint through using alternative sources of protein like crickets, I was being very cognizant of what I was saying and not using any filler words in talking about
it's
that.
It's really about confidence.
Yes. And I was
so when
very
you practice,
confident.
Right? So she mm-hmm. practiced beforehand, and we ask our kids to practice so many things. We ask them to practice piano and soccer and
right.
ballet, and we ourselves try to improve ourselves by going to the gym or hiring a tennis instructor. But the single most pivotal thing in our lives that gets us what we need is our ability to communicate what we want. And right. why don't we practice how we communicate? So this idea of not just filler words, but the ability to practice. So this, the interview you're talking about, I think, how do I ask my boss for a raise? That's yeah. in there. So it prompts you with, so when you're in food, it just might say potato chips or crickets, but if you think of that as a food. But when you get into the interview or debate team, and I just launched three new today. We just have an update. Now there's one called At Work, Teen Scene, and Small Talk.
Oh, you're adding new.
More content.
Okay.
So in the interview, you might have a question that says, are you a team player? What's your greatest weakness? Or at work, why do you deserve a raise? Are you willing to work late? Those kinds of things. So you can practice before you're in these potentially intimidating situations. So that's talk about, but it's also fun. And Teen Scene, I'm really excited about because that has things like, have you ever been cyberbullied? Or
do you care about being popular?
Right.
Things that you most people find hard to talk about with their friends normally. And so if you can talk about it with yourself, you can start to feel more comfortable about these kinds
and
of topics.
And figure out what you even think.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you even know what you're, yes. what you think about these things unless you okay. talk about
because
them?
Because I'm just starting to form opinions about so many things. I'm very opinionated about a lot of things, as you know, or have found out. But things like things we just mentioned.
This yeah. is wonderful because it's something I can use to practice solo. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
So all the talking to myself can actually
be justified.
Talking to yourself is actually very healthy.
It is.
Talking to myself and practicing, I'll be picking scenarios and seeing what my
rating is. I saw that when I did debate team with my son in the car and things came up like prayer in school or texting while driving.
Or abortion.
I don't have that one in there, but I should. Okay. But yeah.
That's
he had never thought about that before. So suddenly he needed to think, well, what do I think about prayer in school? Or what do I think about texting while driving? And it became, and I think if you're with friends, maybe to sleep over or camp and you're playing this together, it's a way to maybe bring up some weird topics that you might not.
I am realizing the extra benefit of the stimulation aspect of conversation from what you put in here as content. So that's great. More food things.
Yes.
So we can do food. Just for you, we can create, we can reskin it, we can create your own
version
powered by Like So, and you could add whatever content you want.
Powered by Like So. Wow. Okay, we're going to talk about that. We'll talk about that because that sounds fantastic. I don't even know what to do with that. We're going to have to create something.
It'll be all food. No. Music.
Yeah. This is very important to me because part of what I talk about in the sense of primary food is that it's really important to be able to tell your story.
Yes.
And to tell your story with clarity and to tell it honestly. And like you said.
And be authentic.
Be authentic and say it like it is.
Say it like so,
you know.
And think about it because it is a very powerful medium. Our ability to communicate and tell our stories are really important. So I do think that it is almost epidemic, these legs and your nose.
And you're going to, after we get off of this, you're going to notice everyone saying it.
I'm going to lose my mind.
Yeah, no.
Thanks.
But the truth is, that's okay. But I always say what happens in rehearsal comes out on stage.
Mm.
So people say I can turn it off. And sometimes you can, if you're
Yeah, sure.
Right? But sometimes you can't. And if you're in a situation where you really feel that you want to be compelling and meaningful and engage in a really good conversation, it's good to know. I didn't know I said actually so many times. I had no idea I, you know, said so. So can be very thoughtful, like so, the thoughtful so. But it can, I say it a lot. That's mine.
This is, again, super important. I know a lot of friends who are in Toastmasters or people who are practicing.
Yes, I've presented to Toastmasters.
This is perfect. Mm-hmm. I understand the importance of being able to tell your story. I've come to acknowledge and understand and realize, like in my support groups, that so many of us who had gotten ill, we had trapped stories inside of us. And mm-hmm. when you do that, you know, you end up suffering from anxiety, stress, weakened immune systems, and that's a great playground for disease and things to flourish.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
There is a deeper health aspect in here than maybe you don't realize that I'm going to tell you more about okay. off mic, because it's just such a long conversation and I think that...
Well, we talk about speech fitness. So in the app, it's your speech fitness score. And so we make this analogy to all these fitness apps and the Fitbit of speech, right? So
the Fitbit of speech.
Right. So understanding how fit you are when you're talking and what your goals are and whether you really do say these words all the time and you have no idea and you want to practice because you are giving this presentation or going on this interview or just going on your first date. We have a speed dating.
Using this for a first date, yes. I think, is a brilliant.
Speed dating is one of the topics. So, you know, you can imagine the questions you would get pushed in that.
That's but in one of the topics in here.
It's
that's
in
built
there.
In.
Speed dating.
Okay. If that doesn't get you to buy this app for 99 cents to improve your next date, give me a break. You're not taking dating seriously enough then. But let me ask you a question. When are you going to partner up with a breath mint company? Because clearly...
That's a great idea.
Great conversations with people,
oh,
you know.
Wow.
Good breath is very important. I'm all about the flossing.
Mm. I'm writing it down. Great tips.
That's a great idea, right?
Mm-hmm.
How have your friends responded to the app?
My friends. I talk about it a lot. And when it was in beta mode, I was asking my friends to test it out and to use it for themselves and to let me know what they thought of it and how we can improve it. And we got great feedback. Yeah. And
her friends have been awesome. Yeah. We actually...
Yay,
so
friends.
I also have this... Part of what I do is I have a blog called Our Digital Daughter. So again, I come from this digital world and I wanted to explore the communication and social issues of what it's like growing up today. I'm actually writing a book, How Do You Raise a Digital Daughter? So I started
Wonderful.
This blog called Our Digital Daughters, and I've cultivated about 25 girls from around the country that inform.
Some of them are my friends.
Some of them are her friends. Yeah. And they're terrific, and they really inform me about, because I don't know, because we're the first generation of parents that are raising these digital kids, and when they're Snapchatting all the time and doing Snapchat stories, and you don't know what they're doing, it's important that you understand what they're dealing with, or if they don't get enough likes on something and they're all upset and you wonder, okay, I get that because I am on Facebook all the time, so I get the likes thing. But there's certain things that when you're 13 or 12 or even 20 can be pretty upsetting. And so I try, or fear missing out, right?
FOMO.
So I try to talk about all those things.
Did you
I
say also, FOMO?
FOMO. Yes. Do you know FOMO?
Fear of missing out.
Okay. Now I have a fear of missing out. Fantastic.
Fear of missing out about FOMO.
Right. Well, you see a picture posted on Instagram of all your friends at a party, and you wonder, why was I not invited?
Oh, my God.
Yes. So there's a lot of new
stuff. There's an acronym for everything.
There's a lot of new stuff coming out of this, all this social media. And as parents, we want to be able to help our kids and model good behavior and be able to talk to them about it in an informed way. So I do this Our Digital Daughters blog, and I did reach out to Amanda's friends who were wonderful, and they've really been great in helping me.
My mind is kind of blown, actually.
there's a concept to what you feel about FOMO. Yeah. I experience FOMO a lot and talk to my friends about that a lot when I'm on Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, everything that's out there. and when I see people posting on their Snapchat stories, oh, I'm at this new cool restaurant with all my friends.
Ooh. I have big time FOMO about restaurants and people posting
seriously.
Their food pictures.
I'm so jealous.
Like, why did you not invite me?
Everyone listening, please follow me on Instagram at Gourmanda. I have a food blog
there
and
you
I
go.
Post
oh.
yummy food pictures all the time. Food porn. And
your daughter said
did
porn.
Did you just say porn?
Your daughter just said
food
porn.
Food porn is an actual term. It's not like a... Oh my God.
Audrey, there's a problem here.
Oh, my gosh. Jeez. Here, so I'm going to say, go to sayitlikeso.com to check out. Like, so I just posted a blog this morning about wedding toasts and how to have an epic wedding toast because, of course, they're so memorable and that you should practice.
Wedding season.
Before it's wedding season.
We actually have a wedding this weekend.
Yes. And if you're giving the toast, you want it to be heartfelt and memorable and maybe inspiring. And just pay tribute to the bride and groom, maybe funny. But so I give Ted tips. I have about 11 tips for how to give a good wedding toast. But I also talk about my favorite movie toasts, and I talk about my own wedding, and the pictures in there are actually
this
of me and my husband. But so, again, practice.
You just gave
be
me
confident.
Great ideas. I work with TED speakers.
You do?
You have to use this.
I would love to. Ted, check out Like So.
TED TEDx. I can have this.
Really?
Put in there, sure.
Love TED Talks.
Yes.
And I'm thinking also about the people I work with who are also ordained ministers.
Yeah. Wow.
Big deal. That's
wow.
a big deal.
Practicing sermons.
Yep.
Oh my gosh,
I'll
I never thought
in front
of that.
A couple of thousand people.
I love you.
And by the way, my score came in.
Yes.
And
Ooh.
It's 95%.
Woo! Utterly incredible.
I am utterly incredible.
Look at the breakdown. See
so the breakdown here is 26 fillers found.
But over a very many, a lot of words.
Okay.
It's a lot
over
of words.
Over 5 minutes of speaking.
Yeah, it's a lot.
My pace is 101. What is that?
So we say words per minute, the average words per minute are about 150, but there's a big range there.
Okay.
If you're doing an interview or if you're presenting slides, it will be a lot slower.
Okay. Well, this is what happened.
Yes.
And then 506 words spoken. And I can analyze what my fillers. Okay, if I hit analyze session. Wow, it tells me I said actually once. I said like five times. I hate this. I said so seven times, you know, twice.
So this is
totally
where you can figure
once.
Out what
wow.
is your what your biggest words are. Mine is like.
The truth is, sometimes like is a simile and it's correct. And I and the app,
or
the technology
I
can't
like
discern
potatoes.
This. Right. It can't discern that yet. And
this
it,
is amazing.
Yeah.
Because I thought I didn't say so at all. I said it the most.
You did.
And I thought.
Soul sister.
I was so sister. I didn't say right or literally, I mean, anyway, just whatever or sorry at all, which is.
Well done.
Woo-hoo.
Well done.
Wow. Download this app, Like So. 99 cents going to change your life and probably get... How do people respond to a person who speaks better? You know, I mean, they just...
Oh, well, you know when you see a good speaker, you're really take... You know, it takes
you
your breath away sometimes.
You are one yourself, so...
you are, and I've been so impressed with you, but I truly love seeing a great speaker. I remember when I graduated from school, communications major, got my first job at Hewlett Packard, and I went to my first big regional meeting, and what was his name? Walt something, or Vince something, gave this big presentation, hundreds and hundreds of us, and he was such a poor speaker, and I was so downtrodden, and I thought, how does that happen? He's the biggest cheese that I'm going to meet, and he does not even know how to communicate. So I think if you're tuned in, and I think most people really are, I think people know when they hear a great speaker and they're moved or they're inspired when they hear one.
This is amazing. And of course, 45 minutes passes before we know it.
Oh, my goodness.
It's so fascinating. Last thoughts about why this app is amazing and about food, quick.
Food. I mean, I'm looking at this pizza that's being made in front of us, and I'm working up an appetite. But yeah, practice speaking about food, which is everyone's favorite topic, I'm convinced. Our lives revolve around communicating and revolve around food and how to survive, and both things are essential. And like so can help with both of those things.
I feel that I've been on this is almost kismet for me, from growing up in my terrific family with those accents to all the work that I've done in communications. I also was in a band, and I sang
in a band, right?
I studied voice. So all these things kind of come together for me, and that's why I'm really passionate about it. I really think that everybody can benefit from using this. You don't have to hire a speech coach. Just it's in your back pocket, 99 cents, right? And I just hope, I really want to, I'm on sort of this mission to help people, and I'm feeling really happy for the first time in a little while.
Okay, we've got new people interested in this app. Like, so, go to the App Store, 99 cents. Shout out to Julie Sussman.
Yay!
And
Julie!
Shout out to Effie Papa in Greece. I have a listener in Greece who reached out.
Oh, neat.
Fantastic. Get the app.
SayItLikeSo.com or go to the App Store. It's on iOS. It's coming out in Android, but right now it's just on iOS in the App Store, Like So app.
Fantastic. Well, this is the end of our show, and this is Cynthia Cherish Malloran, Reverend DJ Cherish the Love, and you've been listening to Primary Food on Heritage Radio Network. Come back next week.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.